Welcome to TYT. I'm Anna Kasparian. Joining me today is Nomiki Konst.
Hello.
And J.R. Jackson. What's up, guys?
What's
up? This
is
the first time. For us.
Yeah, it is.
Kinda
it is.
Crazy.
First time we've done the show together.
Is it really?
Yeah, yeah. It is. Because every time she comes in, something happens and I'm not in. Yeah.
I'm the replacement Anna. It's like two ethnic women gonna fill that slot.
I know, it's
never
funny.
Can live up to it though.
Oh, so. Get out of here. By the way, I'm gonna clear something up on air, which I probably should have done off air. But so I know your name's Nomiki, but people call you Nomi.
Yes.
You're okay with that?
I'm totally fine with that.
Okay, just
it's
making
much easier.
Okay, making sure. All yeah. right, cool. I like Nomiki though. Can I call you Nomiki?
You can call me that.
Okay.
I'm okay with it. There was a point in my when I was in senior year, I was like, everyone's gonna call me by my real name
uh-huh.
because they invented the name Nomi, and it was just I was done after that. It was never
yep.
going away.
Yep.
Always Nomi. I didn't come up with it. Totally fine now.
But you're okay with it now.
I'm cool with it now.
Got it. Got it. All right.
Yeah.
It's a cardinal rule to give yourself a nickname. So by the way, don't do it. So it's good that someone else gave.
Yeah,
it
my
to
nickname
you.
In fifth grade was Mickey. I'm really happy with Nomi.
Nomi's good. Nomi's good. I like it. All right, guys. We have so many updates for you guys, including the GOP plan to cut taxes. They call it tax reform, but so far it doesn't seem like tax reform. So we'll get into some updates on that. And then later on in the show, we will also discuss Representative Scalise and his return to Capitol Hill. He has made a It appears to be a full recovery. He's still going to physical therapy, but you know, some good news on that front as well. So it's not all doom and gloom, but you know, there's some stuff that you should be skeptical of. So we'll get to everything in just a minute. And remember, use the hashtag TYTLive to tweet to us during the show. We will read some of your tweets when we come back from our breaks. So you guys ready?
Ready.
Let's do it. All right. Health and Human Services Secretary Tom Price has just announced that he plans on paying for the charter flights that he took on American taxpayers' dime. And of course, this is following a huge investigation that showed that he racked up hundreds of thousands of dollars in these flights where he traveled to various locations for official business, but on some of those trips, he also went there for personal reasons as well. And so, understandably, as someone who considered himself, you know, a fiscal hawk, a real fiscal conservative, he did get quite a bit of criticism and heat for the fact that he was taking these private jets, when in reality, he could have just taken trains or commercial flights and saved US taxpayers a considerable amount of money. Now, Tom Price's official statement in regard to this was that the taxpayers won't pay a dime for my seat on those planes. The announcement follows a political investigation finding that Price had taken at least 26 charter flights costing more than $400,000 since May. Now, there is some there are some predicting that he won't pay that full cost. I'm predicting that he's hoping that this will kind of go away and maybe he won't pay anything. But that's just my speculation, so I want to be clear about that. But apparently, after Donald Trump claimed that he might consider firing Tom Price over this, Tom Price decided that he would state that he'd pay for these flights. So, thoughts, guys?
It's part of that skinny budget.
Yeah.
Yeah, skinny budget, $400,000 for charter flights. I think this is. Listen, I mean, we don't need any more evidence, and I feel like we're just speaking to our own audience, but mm-hmm. at a time when they're talking about the budget, when they're talking about tax cuts, it just doesn't look good, and I think that's why Donald Trump threw him under the bus. But the reality is, you know, is Politico gonna follow up? Are people gonna be paying attention to whether or not he reimbursed that money? Does anybody know if Donald Trump ever gave money to the veterans like he said he would?
Right.
This is part of their game, and it distracts away from the real stuff, which is this budget talk, and also paying attention to the Democrats, frankly. I think there's
right.
two sides of this. We have to pay attention to the real stuff happening, and mm-hmm. you know, when there's an Instagram photo of Steven Mnuchin's wife, hashtag Hermes, hashtag Louis Vuitton, you know, that's a great piece that reinforced that this is a corporatocracy, and it's the 1% that's ruling Donald Trump's cabinet right
now. It's the swamp, right? It's the same swamp that Trump claimed that he would drain in DC, and he's done the exact opposite. But I do want to just quickly mention that you're right. It certainly doesn't look good when Republicans are pushing for tax cuts, which of course would benefit the wealthy more mm-hmm. than anyone else. Yeah. But I also think that, you know, Trump likes to bully people that don't accomplish his legislative goals. Mm-hmm. And during his Boy Scouts Jamboree speech, Trump said that, you know, he jokingly said that he would fire Tom Price if he didn't do what was needed to pass the healthcare reform,
right,
the repeal and replace of the Affordable Care Act. So I think it has maybe something to do with the flights, but in the grand scheme of things, Trump doesn't strike me as someone who really cares about something like that. Mm-hmm. I think he's just bitter that they lost again when it comes to the healthcare issue.
And actually, neither does Tom Price care about the real issue behind it. So when you see statements of regret or concern or apologies for what they've done and what they're gonna do to repay their debts, in this case directly, you have to see what their wording is, because you wonder if they've actually learned the lesson. Again, I've said this before, I have a 5-year-old kid, and in TK last year, when there's a conflict, the teacher said, okay, if you apologize for something, what are you apologizing for? Do you know what you did to the other person, and how are you gonna fix it to make sure it doesn't happen again? None of that stuff is ever addressed in these statements by grown ass men who are in positions of power. So all of my political career, he says, and it's part of a statement, I fought for the taxpayers. It's clear to me that in this case, I was not sensitive enough to my concern for the taxpayer. So Tom, did you forget as you were sitting on the plane with your staff and you were doing the whole thing on the private jet, did you go, I remember back in, was it 08, 06, when he was on shows talking about how he hates the outrageous spending by these Democrats?
Yeah.
So are you forgetting? Did you forget? Do you not know what you're doing anymore?
He didn't forget.
No.
I mean,
or do you just not care anymore? So of course, so you have to address that. And so you overlook it, so you don't say, well, you know, I'm gonna go back and think about where I've come from and what I'm gonna do to remedy this situation, not just pay it off. Because again, we don't know if that's gonna happen, but what are you gonna do? How do we trust you again is the point.
Right, look, I don't believe a single member of Congress is a so-called fiscal conservative, right? Mm-hmm. And by the way, this criticism extends to Democrats as well, because if you're genuinely concerned about, you know, balancing the budget and running the government in a responsible economic way, then you wouldn't continuously support massive increases of funding toward the Defense Department so private contractors can get rich, right? And so, look, this $400,000 is shady, and Tom Price deserves the criticism he's getting, especially considering the fact that he's a massive hypocrite when it comes to this issue. Mm-hmm. But in the grand scheme of things, I mean, the biggest amount of waste is not on entitlement programs. Mm-mm. It's not on, you know, the Affordable Care Act and you know, helping expand Medicaid. It's really when we put money into the military. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the Defense Department can spend $28 million on forest camo gear for Afghan soldiers when they're in a place where only 2% of their land is covered by forest, right?
Absolutely.
Like, that's the kind of shit that we shouldn't be spending our money on, okay? If you're a real fiscal conservative, you'd point to that, but they continuously increase the money toward the Pentagon, and it's crazy.
Our government is essentially a money funneling machine for contractors and consultants.
You know,
the political parties are money funneling machines for the consultants, and contractors make all the money out of our budget.
Right.
And these are the same people, let's not forget, these are the same people who put out those, and they go on like Fox Business, and they talk about, oh my God, the US government spent $40,000 on researching shrimps, shrimp on treadmills. I mean, that was literally in one of their reports.
Yeah.
They find these little things, that's their strategy. Look at all this waste over here, but ignore the waste over here.
Right, I love that you brought up, you know, scientific studies and the government subsidizing or helping pay for some of those studies. Because, you know, they'll look at something like that, which has a purpose. On its face, a study like that might seem ridiculous, but it's usually, you know, basic science studies that help us understand the world around us and help, you know, in researching bigger things that actually do benefit society. Anyway, look, Republicans have been, you know, trying to defund scientific programs for a long time. And at the same time, they'll go ahead and they'll increase funding for things that we don't need, which is a bloated defense budget that only benefits private contractors. So look, I'm glad Tom Price is getting called out. I'm glad that the criticism is working to some extent. We'll see if he follows through on it, but I want Politico to follow through.
Really?
I want them to make sure that he reimburses US taxpayers for this money.
Okay. And again, as this article pointed out, that's his, again, the wording, I'm gonna pay back from my seat. How many other seats were on it? How much staff was used?
Exactly.
What kind of flight fuel? Your seat wasn't the fuel, your seat wasn't the staff, your seat wasn't the food, just your seat, which I don't know how much that could come out to.
It's a charter, it was chartered for him.
Absolutely.
And You know what would be really interesting is if any of our lovely viewers are great with tech, I would love to see a website that keeps track of all these promises. Mm-hmm. Because you know, we're getting flooded with like checking into draining the swamp, but it goes through one news cycle. Who's following up? Who's making sure that the light keeps being shined on these folks?
Yeah, and it's hard. It's hard because you're right. The news cycle is, it's just flooded every day and it's so hard to keep up, but you know, we can't let them distract us. And I think that, you know, some of Trump's tweets and some of his more juvenile behavior is done intentionally to distract us. So stay focused. All right, let's move on to updates in Puerto Rico. The Trump administration has gotten quite a bit of criticism for its handling of the relief efforts in Puerto Rico. Now, of course, Hurricane Maria has completely destroyed power and electricity in the island. And it has also led to people panicking about their access to clean drinking water, to food, to medical supplies. Some individuals have had to bury family members in their front yard because they have no access to services that would allow for a proper burial. Things are really bad. And so the response from the US government toward the relief effort in Puerto Rico was very different from the response effort or the relief effort in Houston and in South Florida. And so I'm glad that the media has stayed on this story and continues to pressure the Trump administration to do something about it. And it appears that today the administration has done something. So let's start with the first thing. There was the Jones Act. The Jones Act would essentially force Puerto Rico to receive all of its materials and supplies for the relief effort from US ships. And as a result, it's actually hindered the relief effort because of costs, because of logistical issues. And so politicians in Puerto Rico asked the Department of Homeland Security to please waive the Jones Act temporarily so they can get what they need for the relief effort. At first, the Trump administration seemed a little unwilling to do so. In fact, let's take a look at this video of Trump addressing that situation earlier.
Well, we're thinking about that, but we have a lot of shippers and a lot of people and a lot of people that work in the shipping industry that don't want the Jones Act lifted. And we have a lot of ships out there right now.
Okay, so he just flat, that's the thing, Trump's not tactful, right? Mm. Any other politician, any other president would find some sneaky way of making an excuse, but Trump's like, yeah, I mean, my cronies in the shipping industry really want to make money off of this terrible situation, and so I'm going to go ahead and listen to them.
Funny, while I was draining the swamp one day, one of the swamp creatures grabbed my leg and he totally scared me. So I was like, okay, you get what you want just this one time.
Please. And by the way, Puerto Rico wasn't saying, no, you need to lift the Jones Act, repeal the Jones Act, which by the way was passed in the 1920s and has cost Puerto Rico a lot. They pay 40% more for their cars. They pay hundreds of millions of dollars more for imports from the mainland. So it's been pretty negative for the economy of Puerto Rico. And remember, they don't have the same bankruptcy protections that states in the US have. And so whatever, politicians in the island are saying, look, just temporarily waive it so we can get the materials we need and not pay an arm and a leg for it. And so finally, Trump and the Department of Homeland Security agreed. Sarah Huckabee Sanders released a tweet today saying that the President of the United States has authorized the Jones Act be waived for Puerto Rico. It will go into effect immediately. Now, real quick, before, it wasn't just liberals that were criticizing Trump for his response or lack thereof. There were some Republicans who also criticized him, John McCain being one of those Republicans. But Lieutenant General Russell Honore, who actually led the successful relief efforts at Hurricane Katrina following Trump's failed efforts, actually said something about what Trump has been doing or what he hasn't been doing. And I thought this was an incredibly strong statement. I wanted to share it with you guys. Let's take a look.
What's your response to that, General? The president seems concerned about the shipping industry.
I want to keep it clean. That's a crying damn shame. I knew since yesterday that big shots in Wall Street were making this call. And the president has shown again, he don't give a damn about poor people. You don't give a damn about people of color. And the SOB that Rogeron and Air Force One is denying services needed by the people of Puerto Rico. I hate to say it that way, but there's no other way to say it.
Wow.
Remember when Kanye was criticized for that?
Yeah, in fact, we have the video that you're speaking of. Here's Kanye responding to Bush after his failed relief efforts after Hurricane Katrina. Take a look.
May end up being the most tragic loss of all.
George Bush doesn't care about black people.
Please call.
In the past few days.
Can we just watch that one more time? It's just the best video ever.
May end up being the most tragic loss of all.
George Bush doesn't care about black people.
Please call.
In the past few days.
Is Chris Tucker standing in front of a refrigerator? All of it's so good. Every small aspect of that is perfect.
Mike Myers, like it took a while to sink in. Anyway, that video is amazing. But yeah, it was definitely a Kanye moment, except it wasn't Kanye. It was, you know, a lieutenant general who went in to New Orleans and actually, you know, succeed. I don't want to say succeeded, because there's still a lot of devastation in parts of New Orleans that was damaged from the hurricane. But he actually did manage to succeed in some things, whereas Bush had very little response. And so it's interesting to hear from him now and hear what he has to say about another Republican president and, you know, his initial failure to really robustly address what's going on in Puerto Rico.
So this always leads to other aspects of why people are concerned about things, like the way that Donald Trump took a couple days, or at least seemed a bit detached from his visit, even down after Irma hit, right? Or then when W flew over and just looked out his window, it was that very now infamous picture. So what people generally need is not for the photo op opportunity, which Trump eventually did when he was carrying supplies into the back of a pickup truck, because he's helping so much, but just you can go and see what people are actually experiencing. People said the mayor of one of the cities in Puerto Rico is living in the same conditions that her citizens are. So she's understanding what they're going through. So when she talks to people about what's happening, she's not hearing it because someone told us, because she's living it.
She's
and so she understands the level of devastation. So when a guy goes to visit, the reason you go visit is so you don't only care about the shipping guys in your swamp, but you care about the people that are there, because you're like, man, I didn't know people were living like this.
Right.
But you don't choose to go there because, And so now we can make these assumptions about how you feel about people of color, because you haven't given yourself a chance to actually care about them. You care about the people that you're closest to. We just know how that's how human nature is.
And
people
don't
care about gay people until they're in their family. Like, oh, I have a gay cousin now, so now I care about his rights. Sorry.
No, you're absolutely right. And we had signs of this during his campaign. This is a man who, instead of working the Iowa caucus, which he lost, he swooped in on his jet, was outside of the caucus, gave a speech and wanted everybody to come to him. So he has a history of not getting down on the ground with folks. Like he's a germaphobe, but he doesn't like people. And when you're a politician who doesn't like people, it's these moments that really cost you the presidency. I mean, that was the turning point for George W. Bush.
Oh, girl, I hope it costs him the presidency, right? Because I think it's taken a very long time for some of his voters, and I'm not talking about his base. His base is still pretty loyal to him. I'm talking about people who are like, I really don't want to vote for Hillary Clinton, so I'm going to vote for the other guy, right? So people who voted for him are now kind of thinking, wait, does he care about me? Because after he got elected, his response to criticisms over why he hasn't filled his cabinet with, you know, average Americans was, I don't want poor people working for me.
Right.
I mean, what does that say to you as an American who voted for him out of, you know, economic desperation? Mm-hmm. And so I think this is another example of that. But, you know, I think you also have to consider, and this is just me playing devil's advocate, that a president going to the storm-stricken parts of the country is also a little bit of a logistical nightmare, right? And so there have been politicians in Texas, in Florida. I haven't really heard about it in Puerto Rico, but in other states that have been devastated by hurricanes, that have said, look, actually having the president here would be a nightmare.
Right.
So we're glad that he's not coming, right? And so that's the other side of it that I want to make sure that we represent.
Sure.
Real quick, here are the other relief efforts that have just been announced. Let's go to graphic 4. The more robust approach includes the deployment of the USNS Comfort, a hospital ship that has responded to other natural disasters. There are about 5,000 active duty US service members and National Guardsmen on duty assisting in Puerto Rico. FEMA has also released details about the amount of aid provided to the islands thus far, including 4 million meals, 6 million liters of water, 70,000 tarps, and 15,000 rolls of roof sheeting. The agency has said that the federal personnel are aggressively working 24 hours, 7 days a week to restore power, communications, and port access. So the military is now heavily involved, and it seems as though the relief efforts are taken much more seriously. And so that's good news all around, and hopefully, you know, people get the materials that they need, including fuel, you know, gas, water. Fuel and gas is the same thing. I acknowledge that. You know, medical supplies. It's good to hear that there's at least somewhat of a positive update to this.
Let's not forget, though, in Trump's budget, they want to cut FEMA.
Of course they do. Of course they do.
Your neighborhood might be next. I mean, most likely it will be next because look what's happening in the South right now.
Yeah.
All right, we got to take a break. Let's do that. And when we come back, some updates on the tax proposals from the GOP. Will the wealthy get tax cuts? Some are saying no. We'll give you the facts. Hey guys, welcome back to TYT. A few TYT lives for you before we get started on the tax cut story. First, JR mentioned a tweet by who?
I gotta get back to it. Corinne Ryan.
Okay, so Corinne Ryan wanted to know what the 222 means. So it's basically the Armenian version of knock on wood, right?
Okay.
But when you say 222, it means you're like spitting.
Somehow, we do the same thing.
Yeah.
Okay. It's like,
Yeah.
And the baby is like, if there's a, do you have the baby thing where if you have a very cute baby, it's also to prevent jealousy?
Well,
it's a very strange thing.
What you do with that is you put like an evil eye on the baby.
Yeah.
The green, not the green, the blue evil eye, and that's
it.
Look at you.
Do I have mine on? I usually do. Especially if I go on TV, because you never know.
So I'm not, it's funny.
I thought there was like a Greek thing, right?
It's
a lot of different, yeah.
I'm not wearing it.
A lot of different countries believe in the evil eye thing. Yeah. On my wedding day, one of my bridesmaids pinned the evil eye on my garter belt. Yeah. Anyway. Something blue, yeah, exactly.
The evil eye.
All right, so Edward says, they are keeping track of politicians' promises. PolitiFact has Republicans lying 3 times more often than Democrats. Republicans deny that, though. LOL. Yeah, I know, that's true.
That's fake news.
Yeah.
PolitiFact. PolitiFact
is
winning.
Great. It really is.
Yeah, we're all over a lot of things.
And then also Claire says, I thought I couldn't love Nomiki Konst more, but then she wears a Corbyn t-shirt. Dang.
I just came from, I was in Brighton for the labor conference, just got in yesterday. We'll talk about that more tomorrow with some reporting on
all
TYT Politics. Stay tuned. All the interviews are going up.
Awesome.
Got to give a shout out to TYT Politics.
All right.
There was an update from what we did mention, the Dow.
Uh-huh.
He tweeted that Price, this is a Hill article, Tom Price is apparently going to pay $52,000 of the estimated $400,000 of the travel costs.
Oh, just that?
Okay.
He like makes that in an hour, or did make that in an hour.
That's insane. All
Made
right.
It during that flight, one of the flights.
Really?
So a representative for Tom Price indicates that he will only pay $52,000 of the $400,000 that he has racked up from the private jet travel, which is unsurprising.
Mm-hmm.
I think we hit the nail on the head when we just suspected that he wouldn't pay the full amount. I to be fair, didn't think he was going to pay
any
of it.
Yeah, what is that, an eighth of it, about just over an eighth of the cost.
And who's the charter company? Like, which one of their cronies?
Yeah.
There's kickbacks everywhere, you gotta look.
It circulates.
That's a good point. Mm-hmm. All right, let's get to tax cuts. Gary Cohn, who is, of course, Donald Trump's economic advisor and also the National Economic Council director, is now making his rounds in the media supporting tax cuts. He claims tax cuts for the middle class, but if you read the proposal as it is so far, it's tax cuts for pretty much everyone except for the lowest earners in America, who at the moment pay 10% in taxes, but would end up paying 12% in taxes should this proposal get passed by Congress. Now, Gary Cohn is an interesting fellow. Used to be the president of Goldman Sachs. He is the epitome of the swamp, okay? He still has swamp slime all over his body as he's doing these press interviews. So let's listen to him talk to Stephanopoulos about, what's Stephanopoulos' first name again?
George.
George.
Yeah.
George.
Yeah. Good Greek
right.
man.
Yes.
He has an evil eye always attached to his wrist.
So let's take a look at Gary Cohn and his explanation of these tax cuts to George Stephanopoulos.
Can you tell middle-class families watching right now, say a family of four earning $55,000, how much they will save under the president's plan?
Look, our tax plan is purely aimed at middle-class families. A typical family of four earning $55,000 in America today is going to have a substantial tax decrease.
Here in the state of New York, the top tax official here in the city of New York says that nearly half of the middle class families earning between $50,000 and $75,000 are actually going to get a tax increase here in New York City because you eliminate the deduction of state and local taxes.
Well, George, if you look at the reality of the country as a whole, less than 25% of the families in America itemize. So we're solving for the country as a whole. So only the people that itemize today, which are less than 25% of the families in America today itemize, so they're the only ones that are actually taking the deduction for their state and local taxes. We're solving for the greater good of the country. But what you have to look at is you have to look at what we did in its entirety. You have to look at this plan in its entirety.
And if I'm hearing you correctly, you can't guarantee that no middle class family will get a tax increase. There will be middle class families who get a tax increase under your plan, correct?
George, there's an exception to every rule.
So that's a yes.
So look, I can't guarantee anything. You can always find a unique family somewhere.
Okay, so as I mentioned on yesterday's show when we initially covered this tax proposal, there are so many details that still need to be sussed out. So that includes what they plan on doing with corporate tax loopholes, which corporate tax loopholes are they gonna do away with? But in regard to middle class families and the question of whether or not some middle class families would end up paying more in taxes, there is a huge possibility that that will happen. So just to give you the numbers, when it comes to the total percentage of Americans who do deduct state and local taxes, it's about 30% of Americans, 29.3% to be absolutely specific. That's according to the Tax Policy Center. Now, that includes rich people and middle class families as well, to be fair. But you also have to keep in mind that the states that tend to have higher state taxes are usually blue states, mm-hmm. right? So California is at the top of that list. Oregon is also at the top of that list. And so these are individuals who do deduct when they file for their taxes because it does make a difference. Mm-hmm. And so if they get rid of that, okay, you wanna get rid of that deduction, what are you gonna do when it comes to these corporations? Because you haven't been specific about that. You haven't been specific mm-hmm. about what you would do to the richest people and how they take advantage of these loopholes. Now, another thing that I wanted to quickly mention is that, you know, Cohn claims, no, it's not a tax cut for the wealthy, except it is, mm-hmm. and I'll tell you why. So let's go to graphic 8. The Trump plan would lower the top tax rate from 39.6% to 35%, though it also leaves open the possibility of a higher rate for the super wealthy. The possibility. So let me get this straight. Oh, we're gonna leave it up to Congress, which is as corrupt as it could possibly be with the legalized bribery we have in the country. We're gonna leave it up to them, and they could possibly add one more bracket for the highest income earners in the country. No, that's not gonna happen. I'm not even being pessimistic, I'm being realistic.
The Republican Congress won't try and won't go for this extra super high tax rate that'll affect most of them and their families, no.
And the estate tax?
The estate tax. Okay.
So that actually is spelled out, that they're planning to eliminate the estate tax. Shocker.
Yeah, yeah. So they want to do away with the estate tax. And who would that benefit? Would it possibly benefit Donald Trump and his family? Oh. Yeah, I think so. So let's go to the next video where Cohen addresses that a little bit.
The president has also said that wealthy will not get a tax cut under the plan. He says that he himself will not get a tax cut under the plan, or his family won't get one. He said that you won't get one as well. But look at the front page of USA Today right now. It says that Trump could reap millions from his own tax plan.
You've got to look at the plan in its entirety.
I am looking at the
whole. We also put the ability for Congress to put a fourth tax rate in place, a fourth tax rate on wealthy Americans, very high earners. If we need to take more money from high earners and transfer it to middle-class Americans to make sure that middle-class Americans are getting a tax cut, we've given Congress the ability to do that.
He says, believe me, I won't be getting a tax cut. Can you guarantee that President Trump won't get a tax cut under this plan?
George, when we've looked at the tax plan and we look what it does for Americans, we are very confident that Americans are getting a great deal here. We have also said that wealthy Americans are not getting a tax cut.
Will the wealthy get a tax cut or not?
The wealthy are not getting a tax cut under our plan.
That's not the evidence that's out there so far, but of course there are a lot of details yet to come, as you have pointed out.
Oh, look at George.
Yeah, the way that I read several things about how this can work, because the way that they point out they want to have regular Americans put their taxes on a postcard and do both sides and turn it in.
They've been
talking about that for
just like that
over a decade, right? Probably even longer than I was even ever paying attention to anything. So the way they want to do it is that way, but that doesn't eliminate people with all kinds of means and tax attorneys from making it still pages full of a tax return document that allows you to get around all of these tax plans that you have that you guarantee isn't going to allow rich people to go around it, but it will. So directly for Donald Trump, the one particular one that stood out, I'm not going to go through all of them, but one that stood out was the preferential income tax rate for pass-through corporations, which there are 500 underneath the Trump brand. So it allows people that have parts and hands into this corporation to say, well, it's like a personal income for me, so it's not really a business, these small business owners. It's not my business, but it's actually my personal income. Then I can take it at 25% rather than the 39.6 that it would be at. Mm-hmm. And so it allows them to do whatever they want to move money around. Now, if you're that four-person family that makes $50,000 a year, which is not middle class, but
which is poverty. Let's be very clear. That's poverty.
Yeah, I mean, think about just, you're talking about kids. So you have two kids, and you have school and preschool, and then maybe just normal expenses like that. It's gone. And This is $50,000 to $55,000. Just gross
without being taxed
every day.
Yeah.
Because you don't go to the grocery store and they say, hey, so I see you got this much taken out of your taxes every month. The cost of this bread is going to be cheaper. Anyway, I got sidetracked. So they'll end up paying that much less to go around it. They can pay for these tax attorneys to do all this stuff. You have no recourse to do it if you're just a regular person. It makes this little to nothing every year.
H&R Block ain't gonna do it for you.
Right.
It's not.
Based on the proposal, they're very specific when it comes to the cuts. Like, that's the one thing that they are specific on. So they do plan on, as you mentioned, Omiki, getting rid of the estate tax. That is a tax cut. They have limited the number of tax brackets in their proposal where there's only, three. Mm-hmm. And so what do you think happens to the highest earners? Their taxes come down. Mm-hmm. It's flat out what's going on. It's right in front of us, mm-hmm. right? And he has the audacity to go on television and pretend as though, no, me and my cronies don't stand to earn anything from this or gain anything from this, please.
Because let's keep it real. You know what it is? It's a pain in the ass to look through all this and look at the details of how it all works. And then so the people that do, the researchers or these detached corporations, or not corporations, or investigators on this. And in this case, George Stephanopoulos, who is probably telling the story of what he's been told already, how these things work. And then after they say it, they go, oh, that's so complicated. People at home can sit and listen and go, that sounds like that's a pretty bad plan. But then the response, all it has to be is, they're lying to you, fake news.
Right.
Leave me instead.
And that goes back to 1991, mm-hmm. right before the 92 elections. Read My Lips, new taxes that was thrown into the face of George Bush, mm-hmm. arguably cost him the election, mm-hmm. to Bill Clinton, who's all about the economy, stupid. Mm-hmm. So as we come into 2020, if this tax plan is not, played out as fake news, which I don't actually think is going to affect the majority of Republican voters, mm-hmm. I think that is why the Democrats need to have a clear spokesperson, a clear leader who has an alternative economic message that keeps it about the 1% and the tax havens and all the stuff that they're doing mm-hmm. to manipulate the system so that the middle class, which barely exists now, is bearing the burden.
Right. My concern is that Democrats for the most part, with the exception of, you know, people like Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders, will play ball. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, and here's another thing to keep in mind, guys. It's Democrats in office are not poor, right? Like, they're making some pretty good money. And so they also stand to benefit from tax cuts. Mm-hmm. Also, you know, people who host these cable news shows get criticism for their incredibly superficial coverage of stories like this. But you think that's an accident? I mean, they have multi-million dollar contracts. They love it. Yes. They love it. Which is why I give George Stephanopoulos some credit for, you know, going after Cohen the way he did in that interview, because you don't see that type of follow-up in, you know, in any other interview. You just don't. Mm-hmm. In mainstream media. So these are all things to keep in mind. I think what's important is for Americans to pay attention to what hasn't been specified so far, and keep in mind that it hasn't been specified for a reason. Right. Why is it that they haven't detailed to a great extent the type of corporate tax loopholes they plan on doing away with? Remember, when it comes to corporations, they want to lower the tax rate from 35% to 20%, which, by the way, right now the effective tax rate is 18.7%. And so, all right, you want to increase the effective tax rate to 20% and do away with the loopholes? Maybe I'm having a conversation, but that is not what they're doing. At least that's not how it appears at the moment.
So what I'm predicting is that Donald Trump's way of selling this, because there will be a lot of pressure on him, mm-hmm, about this issue, about, you know, draining the swamp and making it so that the 1% gets a fair share tax, he's going to talk about bringing jobs back. If you, yes, want to bring jobs back, if you want those corporations to not use those tax havens and go overseas, which actually isn't as many as we think, then we've got to make sure that they have an incentive. Yeah. And that is the scheme. That is the Republican scheme there. And we have to pay attention to that, because number one, it's not as many corporations as we think.
Well, yes, and also Cohen was asked about that today. And interestingly enough, he said something about, because a reporter challenged him in a way that I think was brilliant. You know, oftentimes these tax cuts are used by these corporate executives to buy stock, to increase their stock value, to do acquisitions. They consolidate, which means that, you know, they'll merge with another company and then lay a bunch of people off. So it's actually counterproductive. People lose, absolutely, jobs as a result, right, of these tax cuts. And his response was, no, but then they'll reinvest it into the stock markets and they'll help small businesses. Some BS answer, but that is not what happens. They don't look to stimulate the economy. They look to stimulate themselves and their own corporation.
It's amazing. There was also one last piece of this that I remember reading. Their lobbyists, or these large corporations, will give tens of millions of dollars, and we already know this, to politicians to do their bidding already. So then, which one is it? Is it that they're so broke that they can't afford any of these taxes that they keep getting chopped down with? Or is it they can spend $52 million to lobby politicians to do their bidding? Right. If they had that money, just throw away to spring back, I think they might have it to actually reinvest into America and bring in it. So, by the way, also, they're still also arguing to not give anyone a raise. So this minimum wage fights, which one is it? Like, you keep telling us these fairy tales, but then as soon as the actual policies are up for debate, they go, oh, who needs minimum wage increases from $6 an hour? Calm down. Yep. I thought you're hiring people. Where's the evidence?
Right, exactly.
I wonder when they're going to make it a tax write-off to pay lobbyists.
Oh my God, don't give them ideas. Although
I'm sure they're on that.
All right, let's move on to healthcare. Healthcare debates in the United States primarily center on the issue of the Affordable Care Act, possibly repealing it or replacing it with a GOP plan. However, there is a forgotten program that is about to expire in funding that is important for you to know about. It is known as the Children's Health Insurance Program, CHIP to shorten it. And the funding for this program, unfortunately, expires on Saturday, September 30th. Now, Republicans have been so hell-bent on repealing the Affordable Care Act that they haven't worked on this particular issue. And so as a result, it seems unlikely that Senate Republicans will do what's necessary to ensure that this program remains funded. Now, to give you an idea of what this is, CHIP is a health insurance program created in the 1990s to piggyback on Medicaid, and it provides coverage for kids and families with higher, though still lower middle class to middle class incomes. The program also helps cover pregnant women in some states. It's designed much like Medicaid, with states and the federal government both paying a share of its budget. Now, the federal government pays about 3/4, I believe, of this program. And then states also go in there with their own funding to help create a robust program to make sure that these kids are insured. But if this funding expires, there are several states that could really suffer immediately. Now, some states have budgeted the money so they'll be able to fund it for a couple months after the funding expires, but it is a little bit of an issue. So let's go to graphic 11. At least three states, Arizona, Minnesota, and North Carolina, plus the District of Columbia, would run out of funding by December. So they have a couple of months left in terms of, you know, money that they've budgeted for their program. However, Arizona appears to be in the most dire situation. Minnesota is in the most dire situation. They will run out of money immediately. So it's a block grant that gets renewed every 2 years, I believe. And so they can budget it out through those 2 years however they want. And some states obviously budgeted so it would last a little longer. Minnesota is not the case. So this is an important program. And there were Republicans and Democrats in the House that took some action to make sure that this remains funded. However, the Senate seems unlikely to do anything about
it. And this goes to, so the fight is now about how it's going to be, you know, I guess, funded, approached, how they can put this on the floor. With, there's been other, I think there was an amendment or at least a bill put forward, but they're worried about it now being taken down with all these extra amendments that could, that could come from anywhere, honestly. And again, a lot of people don't know that's how it works as well, too. Things get tossed on the bills all the time that have nothing to do with it. We've mentioned it, but you forget. It's the normal daily approach to how they do business there. And many people are afraid to put things up like this that may actually solve this problem, because it's going to cause other problems. So it's, it comes back to messaging. So if you message this as, oh, this is a pro-life party, where is the life of these children? When does it come into play for you? Do you care? Call them people out by name and say they're all for, they're champions of life. This kid's about to die.
No,
you champion for this kid?
You have the Christian Coalition who came in the early 80s, advocated on moral and a moral economy, which of course benefited the 1%. And you have the most vulnerable, the most vulnerable people, whether it's disabled people coming into Congress and advocating to save ACA while they're being, you know, pulled away by security. What are the kids gonna show up? Kids who are attached to, like, you know, respirators? This is what it's come to.
And also keep in mind that, yes, there are kids who might be stricken with a serious illness, but then there's also the need for preventative care to prevent a serious illness among kids. It's, look, I didn't know it at the time because I was a kid, but I'm an example of someone who benefited from this program. In California, it was called Healthy Families. I don't know if they've renamed it since, but we grew up poor, right? Like my family, like my dad was in severe debt. He lost his job when my brother was born. We could not afford healthcare. And so because of Healthy Families, I was able to visit the doctor when I needed to see a doctor. I was able to get, you know, dental.
It's simple, what if you had asthma,
cleanings.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. So I was healthy, luckily. But there are kids who have all sorts of serious illnesses who need this program. And to know that it's gonna be snatched away from them because, you know, Senate Republicans were so hell-bent on the Affordable Care Act, they didn't really care too much about this issue. It's just so maddening. It's so maddening.
That's why we need Medicare for all.
Yes.
I mean, this just further proves that point.
A lot
because
of problems.
Even with single payer is the way, even under the other Democrats' proposals that are out there that they're using to compete, it still doesn't protect from things like this. Because, okay, so you want to push forward another program, Chris Murphy. Then what are you going to do when the Republicans come out and go after this program? So when you have Medicare for All, Republicans can't play these little games where they pick and choose a program to go and champion against and, you know, attach it to another bill or detach it from a bill. That's why Medicare for All works. And it prevents people from being on other forms of government assistance, frankly.
Yeah.
When you're protected, when you're protecting every single aspect of insurance, you're protecting like the most vulnerable from being on other programs.
Absolutely. So Senators Orrin Hatch and Ron Wyden. So Orrin Hatch, obviously Republican, Ron Wyden, a Democrat, announced an outline of a deal to keep this program funded. They announced this several weeks ago. But to JR's point, there's some fear to propose something similar to this on the Senate floor because of amendments, because lawmakers want to tack on other things that would actually be negative for the very same people who would benefit from this program. And so, as we know, they want to repeal the Affordable Care Act. They want to, if they don't repeal it, they want to at least get rid of anything that gives it, you know, any type of power or any type of effectiveness. And so, you know, Democrats are a little afraid to propose it. But dude, just be a leader, be a fighter, and don't, I mean, I would go on a national tour if I was in Congress, and I would make a big stink about this, and I would not stop talking about it until Republicans played ball. And that's what Republicans would do. They're incredibly strong when it comes to campaigning and getting what they want. They're good at, you know, being the bullies in some ways. And unfortunately, I don't see the same behavior on the Democrat side.
Take the moral high ground. This is for life.
Some of them will, and some of them will be worried about getting reelected and receiving that money.
Yeah. All right, guys, we got to take one more break. When we come back, we will hear from Representative Scalise, who has made his return to Capitol Hill.
Goody.
Welcome back to TYT. All right, a few housekeeping things that I have to do. I shouldn't say that I have to do them. I do them because I want to do them, okay? All right, so announcements. Members, you guys help keep us independent. You power the show. Without you, we literally could not do what we're doing right now. And so we do member shout outs for good reason. We want to show you how much we love you, and we want to thank you for all of your help. Today's members are Paul Gilbert and Sharon Ritchie. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being members. And for those of you who are not members and would like to join, you get a post game every day, Monday through Friday, and other perks, including access to archives of the show. So if you can't catch us live, you can watch us whenever you want. You can podcast us if you'd like. You can become a member by going to tytnetwork.com/join. Also, members only post game will be live today, all right, after the second hour of the show. And Dave Kohler does stuff. I don't know why this is on my page. Reporting in with Dave Kohler, new episode available. Dave Kohler interviews Michael Tracy about his work for TYT Politics. Look for reporting in under member content on TYT Network.
No one interviews people the way Dave Kohler interviews people.
Yeah. Dude, like, first of all, Dave Kohler is a national treasure. And if you don't know that yet, you need to figure it out. And there's like so much going on in this company that I'm like, wait, there's a new show?
Yeah. There's a new show called Reporting In.
Yeah, Reporting In. It sounds great.
I stumbled upon it one day. It was fun.
Yeah. All right. And then finally, TYT Lives. There was a TYT Live that I think you will enjoy, Nomiki. You can relate. Old Turk writes in and says, Gary Cohn should just shut up and go back to Shark Tank. What do you mean it's a different guy?
Okay, so during the break, I said, God, he looks like that guy from Shark Tank. What's his name? Mr. Wonderful?
Kevin O'Leary.
Kevin O'Leary,
right?
Who I have a weird crush on. Not my type. I don't understand it. It's really creepy. But he's Canadian, we learned. Uh-huh. So he's for Medicare for All. He's French Canadian, which means he speaks French. So he can't be like that bad.
Win-win.
Right? He's not Gary Cohn.
He's not, as long as he's not Gary Cohn, he can't be that bad.
No. He just plays the bad guy on TV, which it's what I'm hoping for. Mm-hmm. Weird crushes.
I don't know who he is. I've never watched Shark Tank before.
You probably
didn't. I plan on investigating this guy and then sending you all kinds of bad things about him.
It's gonna be a weird meme later, I know it.
All right, let's move on to some other news stories. Representative Steve Scalise has returned back to Capitol Hill, and he is luckily recovering from the shooting that did threaten his life. He has opened up about some of the injuries that he sustained as a result of a shooter who showed up during a baseball practice and opened fire. Now the shooter has died. You know, someone opened fire against him on the scene, and he was killed immediately. Now Steve Scalise, obviously, as you can see in that video, is still suffering from the injuries. But luckily, he is not only surviving; he seems to be thriving, based on the way he has spoken to the press about these incidents. So let's take a look at the first video where he talks about God and his role in saving him.
When I was laying out on that ball field, the first thing I did once I was down and I couldn't move anymore is I just started to pray. And I will tell you, it gave me an unbelievable sense of calm, knowing that at that point it was in God's hands. But I prayed for very specific things. And I'll tell you, pretty much every one of those prayers was answered. And they were some pretty challenging prayers I was putting in God's hands. But he really did deliver for me and my family. And it just gives you that renewed faith in understanding that the power of prayer is something that you just cannot underestimate. So I'm definitely a living example that miracles really do happen. The first place I want to go to thank true angels along the way starts with the United States Capitol Police.
Okay. So you guys.
Okay.
Take
is
away.
It? It's a I guess inspiring story that he made it back, because I mean, in the first few days after, people didn't know what was going to happen.
Right.
He was shot in the abdomen waist area.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of organs, right? So all that had to be, as we'll see soon, pieced back together. It's just the one thing you always hope there's something. Again, I went to the, when we first started this story with Tom Price and his apology for his his expenses. I just wish people would learn something from it. Mm-hmm. There doesn't have to be this viciousness of, oh man, yeah, he's hurting all this stuff that I'm sure some people directed towards Scalise's way. I just wish he would understand that he's not the first person that's been shot. Yeah. And when he was lying on that ball field and he almost died and he was praying to God, there's people who were lying on the ground and were praying to God that they survived too, and it didn't work out for them. And they didn't have Capitol Hill police next to them to defend them and take out a madman shooter.
And the best healthcare in the country. Yeah.
They like didn't have government healthcare.
Right. And then so suddenly this is an important thing because of who he is. Your family would have missed you. There's a lot of family members that missed their deceased because of something that happened that didn't have to happen. And not that it would be 100% done, but there's something you do when you're in a position of power to not make it easier for people to be killed by random and violent gunfire in a country that's divided to the degree that we are now. And this guy targeted specifically Republican congressmen because they were at their practice, so he knew who they were and where they would be. So it was based off of partisanship and a divide and the anger for certain people in the government. So there's certain people that get targeted in our society, and they're just as important as you are. Trust me, they have the same organs you got, and they deserve theirs deserve to still stay together just the way yours did. I wish they would understand that.
I'm going to take it a little bit further, and I'm glad that you brought this human aspect to the story, because you know, with great power comes great responsibility. If we go through this fight over Medicare for All, or if we, God forbid, go through another like repeal and replace Obamacare again, I urge those who have been affected by gun violence and who have lost members of their families or who have not been able to pay for their health care because of shootings, I urge you to go to Representative Scalise's office and make that case in a very vocal way and in using technology and making sure that that message gets out there, because he does have a responsibility, and it is an absolute horror what happened to him, and that I hope that never happens to anybody else in office again.
Yeah.
But you are still an elected official. And now you have a personal story, and it's not just about the police. We're there with weapons, because I know where that message turns.
Right.
That, you know, good thing that there was a good guy there with weapons.
Right.
This is about two things: guns and people who should not be holding guns and purchasing guns.
Yep.
And healthcare.
Yeah. So you know, I agree to some extent on everything that you guys have said. You know, obviously there's the gun debate, and that is probably the most difficult thing to move Americans on, because we are incredibly divided when it comes to that issue. And you know, I've been clear about the fact that I am not a proponent of banning guns. I, you know, think that responsible Americans should have access to guns. I do think that there is an issue with a lobbying group like the NRA getting its funding from weapons manufacturers who want to turn a profit. They want to profit as much as possible, so they want to put as many guns in the hands of as many people as possible. Now, that's one issue, and I think Scalise should absolutely, you know, at least have some empathy for the other side of the gun debate. But he should also have empathy in regard to individuals who don't have healthcare, who wouldn't have the same type of quality treatment that he received and that allowed him to survive. And so that's the issue that comes up over and over again. The word that I bring up when it comes to a wide variety of stories that we cover, just this lack of empathy. And you see it among politicians, you see it among Americans, and you would think and you would hope that if someone goes through something as incredibly tragic as what Scalise has gone through, they would learn from it. He would learn from it and realize, oh my God, had I not had this government health care. Again, it's government taxpayer-funded healthcare that these elected officials get to take advantage of. Had he not had that, who knows what would have ended up happening, right? And then the final thing is, you know, rhetoric, because I think rhetoric does matter. We are divided. And the type of rhetoric that we're seeing among elected officials right now is unprecedented. Mm. And, you know, the fish rots from the head down. We have Donald Trump, you know, saying all sorts of incredibly disrespectful things during his campaign.
Things.
Yeah, during his campaign, promoted violence, talking about punching people in the face.
Reporters,
right. And so, and by the way, violent rhetoric on both sides, it needs to stop. 100%, okay? Don't incite people to violence. Don't, you know, needlessly overly demonize people to the point where someone who might be mentally unstable might take action against someone that you're talking about. Like, we need to really take a step back, you know, cool our tempers for a second and think about how we can engage in political discourse in a civil way. Mm-hmm. And I think that's another thing that we can learn from this. So I'm glad he's making a recovery. We'll see if, you know, it's been a learning experience for him. But he is happy to be back on Capitol Hill. Seems to really love his job.
We'll see what happens. I mean, I would love my job too if I were congressman.
Yeah.
They don't get anything done. They get paid a lot and they've got great healthcare.
That's true. All right, guys. Thanks for watching hour one. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, Grace Baldridge joins us for hour two. Stick around.